Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, October the 30th, 2012. 1 week from today, believe it or not, is Election Day 2012. We are live each weekday, noon to one, on the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. And you can hear our programs anytime, anywhere by visiting my website, buckmastershow.com. The show is also posted to the tucsoncitizen.com, also to tucsonsentinel.com, and there are now links to the Buckmaster Show on the home pages of the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun at gvnews.com and the homepage of Blog for Arizona. That's blogforarizona.com. Coming up in the hour, we'll discuss how Arizona voting patterns will soon change forever as the state's Hispanic population explodes. We'll talk in a few moments with Joe Garcia, Mr. Garcia, director of the Morrison Institute's Latino Public Policy Center based at ASU. 20 minutes past the hour, it's the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. 30 past the hour, the Buckmaster Show history contributor Ken Scoville will join us. We preview the first ever Tucson Modernism Week, and then we'll close out the show with Margaret Regan, Tucson Weekly Arts Editor, who will have our bi-weekly arts report. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040, or you can submit your questions using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page, which is Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Well, in a few years, the sheer number of Hispanics will change Arizona's voting patterns forever. It's estimated there will be a 42% increase in the number of non-Latino citizens age 20 and older within the next 20 years. At the same time, the number of Latino citizens age 20 and older will increase by 178%. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line from Tempe is former Tucson newspaper reporter Joe Garcia. Mr. Garcia, director of the Morrison Institute Latino Public Policy Center based at ASU. Joe, how are you today?
Pretty good, Bill. How are you?
Doing real well. And Joe, as you know, every election cycle, for as far back as I can remember here in Arizona, there's this speculation that this will be the year that Hispanics will flex their voting muscle. Then, of course, there's that letdown followed by an underwhelming voter turnout among Latinos. Joe, is there any reason to think this year will be any different?
Well, it lines up that it may be different this year. SB 1070 certainly has galvanized much of the Latino community, many of whom think of it as anti-Latino politics. There's been a concerted effort for get out the vote, which is a little different this time around because now it's geared towards the mail-in balloting. So not going to the polls, not worried about if you can make it back to your precinct in time after work or before work, but just mail in your ballot. So that's been the big push. And among those pushing are Arizona Dreamers. Even though they can't vote because they're not U.S. citizens, they have been going door-to-door, neighborhood to neighborhood, letting people know that the importance of their vote. So they've been trying to really get out the vote that way. And then, of course, you've got Richard Carmona, a Latino, on the ballot, which may attract some Latino voters. And, you know, it's just President Obama's mini dream act, if you will, the two-year exemption, work exemption, also may bring some people to the polls. So, yeah, who knows? There's a lot of things lined up. But what our report, Arizona's Emerging Latino Vote, which is available on our website, what that's pointing out, though, is, as you mentioned at the beginning of this interview, is that the big wave is coming. The big tsunami, if you will, is coming. It's just undeniable. The demographics, are there. The data is there. It's just in the next 20 years, as these young Latino kids, the population comes up into voting age, there are so many young Latinos who are U.S. citizens. It's just going to be overwhelming as far as the impact on the state voting.
Joe, what about the impact of social media? Has that energized some of the young Latinos?
Well, you know, that, I think you fall into that category, though, that you're dealing with the younger vote, and younger people, you know, traditionally don't vote to the same level as, of established citizens. So, you know, I'm sure there is some of that that's going on, but, you know, I mean, you keep breaking it up. It just kind of depends. I think you have to look at the community as whole, or whether the Latino community shows up at the polls, and not so much just with the youth vote.
What are some of the things that we could look for with this, as you call it, a tsunami of Latino voting in the future? What's it going to mean for the political structure in Arizona?
Well, our projections, which are in the report, point out that by 2025 to 2030, you know, Arizona very likely could be changing from a red state, conservative state, to a blue state, which is more progressive, which would be interesting, a shift in the political landscape here. But the reason we do that is because we have a couple scenarios there, but Latinos traditionally vote Democratic. Even if they're not a member of the Democratic Party, even if they're an independent or non-aligned party, they traditionally vote Democratic. And the Republican Party has come, especially some hardliners here in Arizona, SB 1070, have hit on the immigration issue rather harshly. And that translates into, you know, voter sentiment as well, probably leaning more towards Democratic.
Why?
So, you know, a lot can change. I think that the old guard was a little more hardliner. I think the new guard coming up for the GOP understands that, you know, perhaps this election may be the very last election in which you can win, possibly, without winning the Latino vote. But beyond this election, and maybe even this election, it won't be that way. You cannot win without getting the Latino vote.
You know, I was talking about at the beginning of the interview that I cited those numbers that you have in your report about that 178% increase in the Latino citizens age 20 and older in the next 20 years. What will the population percentage-wise, do you have any idea, the Latino population, will it be more than, are we at the area pushing where we'll be the Latinos will be the majority, over 50%, and how soon is that coming?
Yeah, the report was done by senior policy analyst Bill Hart and collaborator Dr. Eric Hedberg here for the college. Yeah, we're looking at Arizona possibly being a minority-majority state possibly by 2030. And when you just look at growth, Latinos make up about 30% of our state's population now. So we're talking about, you know, not more than 2 million people, but just about that number. But between 2001 and 2010, we've seen the growth, 17% in Arizona for non-Latinos, 46% for Latinos. But we're looking at the growth rate for every 5 years, Arizona's population increases about 12%. 8% of those are non-Hispanic, 20% are Latinos. So it's just a different population coming up. So the median age for non-Latino whites in Arizona is 44. For Latinos, it's 25. So we're talking a very young population, of childbearing years. So whites, if you will, are largely getting older, baby boomers going into retirement. And the population coming up that's going to make up our workforce and our electorate is going to be largely Latino.
Joe Garcia is with us. Mr. Garcia is director of the Morrison Institute Latino Public Policy Center. And Joe, of course, spent a lot of time down here in Tucson as a reporter. What's your feeling about why Latinos have been not going to the polls as regularly as non-Latinos?
You know, there's been a whole lot of reasons in there. You know, I mean, but largely some of it sometimes it just comes down to the day of the week. I mean, on a Tuesday, a work day, we're talking about largely a blue-collar population that sometimes are, you know, 20 or 30 miles out on the job, especially here in the valley now. And you're just far away from your precinct. You can't get away to vote. I mean, it was as simple as that. And that's why the push for the mail-in balloting is going on. It's also been that, you know, there's, I think, an informed voter element on this. And I think sometimes, and we have a poll out today, you might want to look at the Morrison talking about all of Arizona, and three-quarters of Arizona is unsure of, you know, the propositions. And I think Latino voters, sometimes there's a language barrier. Sometimes there's other things that they're unsure of who to vote for, so sometimes they don't vote. But I think that's changing. I think that the push to vote, the choices, I think, are pretty clear. I think the campaigns, when you talk about the presidential campaign and even the Senate campaign, and you know, it's been very clear on the differences between the candidates. So I think this election is lining up for an increased voter turnout. Some of the numbers that some people are tossing around are Arizona Latino turnout of nearly 360,000. That'd be an increase of 23% over the 2008 presidential election, and that would make up about 12% of the total turnout. So we'll see if it's that high. If it is, certainly the Latino vote will affect many of the outcomes.
What did you say about that poll as far as the percentage who are unsure about the propositions? They certainly are confusing.
Yeah, they are. We did a poll, among other things, but this poll focused on the propositions, and we found that three-quarters of Arizona voters said that they find the measures too complicated or confusing to fully understand. And, as a result, people wrestle with what they should vote on. About 5.5% of Arizona voters say they just simply vote no when they don't have enough information or they're confused. Meanwhile, about 20% just don't vote one way or the other on propositions because they don't know they don't understand it. They don't fully understand what the consequences may be. So you got a lot of people going to the polls not voting or unsure of themselves, and relying on perhaps too much information from misleading advertising or well-financed campaigns rather than the information that's included, like in the Secretary of State's voter information pamphlet. I observed something up in Oregon this year, which is called the Citizens Initiative Review. And what they're trying in Oregon is they get a sampling of 24 voters in Oregon, which represents the demographics there. And they bring them together for 5 days to look at a certain proposition, find out the pros and the cons. And then as citizens, they put it in everyday language so citizens can understand. Hmm. And they have that in the first page of the voter pamphlet.
We're going to have to run, Joe. Joe, thank you.
Thank you.
Your website again for folks that want to look at the report.
Very real easy, morrisoninstitute.asu.edu.
Okay, thanks. Joe Garcia from the Morrison Institute.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique silk and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowland Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cunada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Current projects include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, the man himself, on the Buckmaster Show live line, Shelley Fishman from Phoenix, where he's at an investors advisors meeting. Shelley, how are you today?
Bill, I'm great. The weather's great. The stock market is closed. So the last 2 days have been kind of silly.
Yeah. The market, of course, if you count the weekend being down closed for 4 days, that hasn't happened in a weather-related situation in a long time. And the word is, I guess, the markets are reopening tomorrow, Shell?
I believe that's the plan. And you know, we're hoping that at least the markets will open in part so that the electronic, the automated portions of the markets will be open. I think it was 1888 or something like that, the last time that the markets were down for weather-related for more than 2 days.
And so, Shelley, what do you expect when the markets reopen? It is the last day of the month. A lot of folks are talking about some of these delayed investor, company reports, profitability company reports coming. What do you expect?
Well, I'm expecting a slightly down day tomorrow. The reason is we had a down day in Europe yesterday. I haven't checked to see how Europe closed this morning, but I think it was up a little bit. We had good results from Ford. But what we're seeing a little bit is because the beginning of the year had shown such really good progress in the markets, a lot of investors are taking money off the table now as they prepare for the end of the year. We've got an election coming up next week. We've got this financial cliff hanging over our heads. That's mixing metaphors. I apologize for that. But I think there's some propensity to take profits off the table now and wait and see what happens. On the John C. Scott Show last Wednesday, John interviewed Senator Kyle. He was talking about what activities are going on in the Congress now, kind of behind the scenes, to see if during the lame duck session something can be struck to at least set the stage for avoiding some of the problems with this financial cliff that we have. And I was very really pleased at the very first things that the senator was saying, because it was clear that some discussions are happening, and then he just went back to the old and these are our rules, and this is the way we're going to do it, and if the Democrats don't agree, we're not going to do it. And so kind of my heart sank, and I said, oh, my gosh, we're going to be at each other's throats again. So,
yeah, we got to get everybody on the same page and get this done, Shelley, before the end of the year.
There's got to be balance, Bill. It's good. There's got to be some compromise. If there's not compromise, then it's really tough to see how we fix some of these problems.
And it is going to be a lame duck session, but it has to be, I think, and I hope so, and I think you feel the same way, it really has to be done before the end of the year.
I think as the CEOs, I think there was, you know, something like 40 or 50 CEOs signed a letter basically saying we need a down payment on the solution. We need to know as we go into the new year, before we get there, what kind of framework we're going to have to fix these problems. And I think, you know, the framework will be a little different depending upon who wins on Tuesday. But in either case, a framework is possible. Clearly, if the Republicans win, if Romney wins, we're still going to have most probably a divided Congress. So there is going to need to be compromise regardless of who wins the election. So, you know, this wait-and-see attitude is, I think, destructive of what's good for the country. And what's good for the country right now is restoring some degree of certainty to the business cycle.
Shelley Fishman is with us. Shelley does his Tuesday Moneymaker report at this time every Tuesday on the Buckmaster Show. Shelley's certified financial planner. For those investors wondering, are they just sitting on the sidelines waiting, you think, to see how the fiscal cliff, the financial cliff, is going to play out?
Well, I think it's more than investors, Bill. In addition to investors, it's businesses. What we saw in the second quarter, and it was a kind of disturbing number, is that even though consumer sentiment was up, in the second quarter, business investment was either flat or a little bit negative. As a result, you know, that's a result of uncertainty. If businesses do not know what to expect, not so much from taxation, that's less important than from where, in effect, the economy is going to go, then they're very reluctant to invest in new plant. In new equipment, and most importantly at this point, in hiring new people. So that seemed to have slowed down, and that, you know, that I think alarmed a lot of investors. I mean, we went from a Dow that had been up about 13 or 14% several weeks ago to a Dow that is now up only about 7.25% for the year.
And that happened very quickly. I mean, losing basically half of the percentage increase in a matter of days, Shelley.
That's very observant. It took less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it happened very quickly and has a lot of people nervous. And so what happens if the folks can't get it together at the Capitol? What goes on? What happens?
The latest forecast, and I believe the forecast that came out last week, that looked at the effect of not fixing sequestration and the Bush tax cuts all expiring at the same time, in addition to the payroll tax cuts expiring. And for the first time, instead of saying, well, that's just going to be a slowdown to something like 1% growth, they were saying that could have the effect of throwing us into a recession. I think that's extreme, but it's not outside of the realm of possibility.
So a recession is certainly in the forecast as a possibility if this thing can't be settled.
In the worst case, I think in the worst case. Now, you know, if you take a look at the flip side of that, we also had an adjustment in second quarter GDP growth up from, you know, 1.2, 1.3 to about 1.6. So we are seeing improvement in the economy. It's just really hard to fathom our government just allowing something like this to happen.
What are you telling your clients who are calling you that are concerned about this fiscal cliff?
Well, what's strange is that we're seeing, and I'm up here with other, you know, of my colleagues, we're seeing in the past couple of months a tremendous increase in the amount of money coming back into the market. It's not necessarily coming back into equities. It's coming back into fixed income, but it's coming off the sidelines. So what I'm telling my clients is if you have a good strategy for allocating your investments, if it's conservative and defensive, it almost doesn't matter. And, in fact, you might regard this as a buying opportunity because we know that at some point we're going to fix these problems. The forecasts for 2013 so far are very positive.
Shelley, in the remaining few seconds, tell us a little bit about, for folks who maybe are listening for the first time, who is Shelley Fishman?
Well, Shelley Fishman works at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. That's where I'm located. My broker-dealer is LPL, and I'm a certified financial planner who happens to have a background both in finance and in business and business management, so that I view the economy and what's going on with business opportunities as a manager as well as a financial planner. And, you know, that gives me some insights that I think are a little bit unique, and certainly my clients have enjoyed some of that.
Yeah, they sure enjoy working with you, and you've got an MBA, too. Shelley Fishman.
That's true. Yep.
Where do folks get a hold of you? A good link is buckmastershow.com. That's a starter.
You know, for Buckmaster Show listeners, that's probably the best way.
Okay, thanks, Shel. Have a great week up there.
You too, Bill.
Thanks, bye. Bye.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC. Insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. Investment and insurance products are not NCUA insured, not credit union guaranteed, and may lose value.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama plans a visit to New Jersey tomorrow so he can get an up-close look at the damage caused by Superstorm Sandy. The president has also declared storm-battered parts of New York and New Jersey a disaster area, clearing the way for more federal help. Could be days before people in much of the Northeast can see their lives even start to return to normal. The storm has left at least 39 people dead. More than 8.2 million utility customers across the East are without power. New York City, especially hard hit. Its subway is still shut down, and a lot of Manhattan is without power. The storm that resulted when the hurricane merged with two other storm systems has also been dumping a lot of snow across mountainous areas of West Virginia and neighboring states. More details at srnnews.com.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowland Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City and its surroundings. This is a perfect time of year. Autumn over there in the Gila Wilderness in Silver City. Those warm days, very crisp, cool nights. You can hike and explore the wonderful Gila National Forest. What a spectacular wilderness area that is. Great places to stay, including Gila Hot Springs Ranch, Bear Creek Cabins, and Manzano's RV Park. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. And joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, Ken Scoville. Ken is the Buckmaster Show contributor on history. You can find a list of all of our some 24 contributors to the program who appear with us at least once a month at our website, buckmastershow.com. Ken is a native Arizonan. He's been a teacher in Tucson for many years, and he writes extensively on Tucson history. Ken, how are you?
I'm fine today, Bill.
Well, there are a couple of two historic buildings, one in Tucson, one in Phoenix, that have been in the news. Let's start with the one in Tucson. That's the Marist College building downtown. This is a three-story, right?
Well, it's actually two stories.
Is it two-story?
Two stories and a basement. The basement actually is reinforced concrete, then the upper two floors are sun-dried adobe, which is very unusual, built about 1915 as a Catholic school.
This is part of it's a property of the Diocese of Tucson.
Correct. It's on part of their campus.
So the decision on whether or not this building will be saved, where does it stand right now?
Well, it's sort of back on square one. Having been involved with this and other people for maybe 12 to 14 years, it is on the National Register now and some other things done with it. But essentially, quite a lot of controversy that there was going to be community development block grant money, $1.1 million, to go towards the preservation of it. I think there was confusion in the paper. It was never to go to the diocese. What we've been working on is the diocese would convey it to another party, and then they would do the final build-out, the $1.1 from the city of Phoenix, which was through the government funding on the national level, would be for stabilization of the exterior of the building, get the spray-on stucco that they put on that's concrete that even covered statues and details, and get a new roof and get it stabilized and put back together. Then the developer would have come in and redone the interior, possibly for a restaurant in the basement, which is a great space with clear-story windows, and then the upper two floors would be for offices.
This building is historic.
Oh, it's no doubt, and we'll talk a little bit about historic, but it qualifies in several different levels for being historic, and it is listed now on the National Register of Historic Places.
And what's going on with the Frank Lloyd Wright-designed home up in Phoenix? That's in the Phoenix-Scottsdale area.
Well, I think it's sort of interesting. You're seeing a landmark building in Tucson becoming a controversy and issues and in the limbo of whether it's going to be preserved, and hopefully it will, by the diocese, because it's going to be up to the diocese they decided not to convey to it. Frank Lloyd Wright residence, that's hard to say, in Phoenix is really a landmark residential property, and it was done probably in the early 1950s. Mr. Wright died in 1959, and some people think it was sort of an experiment of his that would lead to his design for the Guggenheim Museum in New York. So it's a very interesting residence on some acreage, and then there's been controversy because somebody bought it and was just going to subdivide and build a lot next door and not divide the lot and build one house. Then they decided to demolish it, and then that's when it's hit the papers in Phoenix and national news.
So somebody has to step up to the plate.
Well, it's because of all the publicity and lobbying, the developers has backed off and said if somebody comes up for $2.4 million, they will sell the residence. They closed on the property in August for $1.8
million. Mr. Wright had a connection certainly to Phoenix. There is the Frank Lloyd Wright Center in Scottsdale.
Well, Taliesin West.
Taliesin West. And, of course, the Taliesin West is the bookend of Taliesin East, which is in a beautiful area of southern Wisconsin. Ken, with all this talk of the historic properties, what makes a building historic and worthy of preservation?
Well, real quick, in the 1960s, we were sort of tearing everything down with urban renewal projects. And at that same time, there was an act passed through Congress, the Historic Preservation Act, and it came up with guidelines that would be sort of managed and stipulated by the Secretary of Interior. And there are three major points: that a property must be significant, of a certain age, and have integrity. And significant means it has a connection to historic events, people, regional architecture, a real expression that's significant for the community and for the nation. Typically, things are 50 years of age to be historic. Sometimes there's exceptions to it. And the other one is integrity. I've been involved with a lot of these projects, that enough of the original building, or what we would call the fabric, is there that it deems being worthy of being preserved, or it's been changed in the past, but that change was very significant, and we're actually going to interpret and list it because of that circumstance.
So the bones have to still be there.
Yeah, the
much.
Bones have to be to a certain extent.
So what, in summary, we're talking about a couple mid-century, certainly, for the Frank Lloyd Wright property.
Right.
So when you get into this mid-century, that kind of takes us to the Tucson Modernism
Week. Right, there's going to be a Tucson Modernism Week. And what this is really all about, really quickly, is that after the World War II, there was sort of a wanting to take a modern look in this country. And so a lot of the earlier styles, what we call revival styles, are scorned. And you would see much more use of brick and glass, very cubic and modern-shaped buildings, an expression of a relationship between inside and outside. And that's what we're really celebrating. Most people do not realize that Tucson has quite an inventory of these 1950s, 60s buildings, not only residences but commercial buildings. And they're still in good shape. In fact, some of your listeners may not realize that they're living in a potentially historic residence.
It's going to be modernism for them. November 9th through 11th, Damian Klinko, speaking of stepping up to the plate, he's a preservationist and president of the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. This is kind of his brainchild, I guess, to put this modernism.
Oh, yes. And in fact, I think he's gone to the one in Palm Springs. Palm Springs puts on a huge modernism week because they have a wonderful collection of buildings. And Damian's such a creative guy. And if you ought to go to the website, Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. You can Google that. And there is, he's bringing in a woman that's in her 90s that was the only architect practicing here in Arizona in the 1940s and 50s. Mm. She's going to do a lecture and talk about, like, she designed the Tucson Inn on Drachman. And then he's going to have a reception. And then they have sort of a comedian, Charles Phoenix, that's going to be here, that's been a national comedian. And then we actually, on Saturday, there's a Frank Lloyd Wright-inspired building that probably people don't realize if you've driven by on Fort Lowell between Mountain and Campbell. And that's actually a yoga studio. So you can take a yoga class there on Saturday morning and discover the architecture. And then there's going to be a pop-up shop. And Damon comes up with something everybody likes. So you can actually look at and maybe buy some mid-century modern furniture, and it's going to be at the former Table Talk building at Broadway Village. And then there's going to be a 40s necktie discussion and a lecture about neckties. And one of my other favorite ones that's going to be on is all kinds of lectures. There's going to be a cocktail party and fundraiser in the evening on Saturday. That's important from a fundraiser, but people that want to participate and go to it, you'll really experience a wonderful mid-century modern residence, tours on Sunday.
There's an art exhibition. We're going to hear more about that from Margaret Regan from the Tucson Weekly in our next segment. But, you know, you mentioned that 40s ties, and I thought, you know, I was looking here. That has to be Dr. Ron Spark, because Dr. Spark has written a book about fit-to-be-tied vintage ties.
Yes.
And he is known for his 40s and early 50s mid-century ties, so I knew he had to be involved there somehow.
Well, it's interesting about Tucson. People don't realize it. We've got something for everybody in this town. There's such an interesting collection of people's interests here in Tucson.
Put your headset on there, Ken. We have Joe Dreyfus is with us now on the Buckmaster Show. Joe is – go ahead, Joe.
Yes, it's refreshing that we have a group of people that appreciate this. I think it's unique that both my great aunts, the one that built the Tucson Temple of Music and Art, had both of them had Frank Lloyd Wright homes built down in Snob Hollow, and the city of Tucson made the developer tear them down in the late 60s.
Oh, boy. Yeah. And that was a difficult time for preservationists.
Right,
the late 60s.
And like we were talking on the show, urban renewal going on not just Tucson but around the country, while other people were lobbying to get this Historic Preservation Act through Congress. So money was going to demolish things and money was going to try and save things, which is always an interesting dilemma.
It is very refreshing that we have some people with the eye on the buildings, and I appreciate it for one.
Joe Dreyfus, thanks so much. Joe, the host of The Visit here every Sunday from 5 to 6 in the afternoon on KVOI. So where can folks – this is really an extensive – I've got this Modernism Week. There's like 5 pages of activities. So what's the best way to kind of find out about this November 9th?
Well, I would just go to Google Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation, and that'll bring up their main page, and then you'll find everything from there.
Ken Scoville, thank you very much. Lots going on in the preservationist area, and we appreciate your input. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on 1249 now and the bi-monthly arts report on Buckmaster presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing in the Interior Design Center at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. And we welcome now the Buckmaster Show contributor on the arts, and she is the Tucson Weekly arts editor, Margaret Regan. Margaret, how are you?
I'm good today, thanks. Bill, how are you?
Very good. We just had a nice interview with Ken Scoville, the Buckmaster Show historian, talking about the upcoming Tucson Modernism Week, which will be November 9th through 11th, and there's actually an art gallery show in connection with that.
Yeah, that's right. Conrad Wild Gallery, which is always quite an inventive little contemporary space, they're staging a show called... they're calling it In Honor of Tucson Modernism Week. James Kozowski and Tim Mossman, both of them are very good, interesting contemporary artists. Tim Mossman I've interviewed before. He does wonderful expressionistic drawings with a very loose hand. He's showing drawings in handmade ink on paper. And James Kozowski is doing expressionist compositions of oil on paper.
It's going to be a real fun weekend, that Tucson Modernism Week. You write about two dance stories. Dance, one of your loves,
yes.
In the Tucson Weekly and Ballet Tucson. It's always fun. Their season opener is coming up this weekend, I believe.
Yeah, and you know what's always fun about their season opener is that they try to do something seasonally keyed into Halloween. And this year, it's really pretty exciting. They're reconstructing a 1934 piece by Agnes DeMille. She was one of our great, great modern choreographers, lived quite a long life, most famous for Rodeo and Appalachian Spring. Turns out, Mary Beth Cabana, Ballet Tucson Artistic Director, danced under Agnes DeMille, and she danced the very piece that Ballet Tucson is staging this weekend. It's called Three Virgins and a Devil. Very comic piece from 1934 about three, I guess, rather silly virgins who are on their way towards a convent, and the devil figures out how to tempt each one of them in different ways to enter the cave of hell. So that should be a really great piece. It's really neat to see that sort of pedigree coming down, you know, where our leading choreographers taught dances to other dancers who are now teaching them to dancers today.
It's a great space, too, the Stevie Uller Theater at the University of Arizona, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, UA Presents at Centennial has some dance for us.
Yeah, quite an interesting young woman, a 36-year-old Canadian named Azure Barton, who's gotten a lot of attention. She's quite young, but she's done a lot of choreography for a lot of important places, including Mikhail Baryshnikov chose her as his first artist in residence at his new art center in New York City, which is a pretty big imprimatur. She's coming here Saturday night with her troupe, and it's a U.S. premiere of a dance that she developed last spring in the Canadian Rockies. and we're going to be hearing some music in it that mimics the sounds of the Canadian Rockies. So very lively, very contemporary, kind of on the edge.
One of my favorite places in the whole world, the Canadian Rockies. So beautiful. Margaret Regan is with us. This is the bi-monthly Arts Report presented by MoesGallery.com. And, of course, All Souls Procession is coming up. This is the big weekend.
This is the big weekend, and there's lots and lots of stuff going on. I'd like to put in a little word for a very interesting photography show at Temple Gallery. Photographs taken of the All Souls Procession over the last 5 or 6 years. Quite interesting because they're done by a Japanese photographer, Toshi Ueshina. And he is from Kyoto, where he tells me they have a similar celebration where they light fires on the hillsides during the special festival that they have for, you know, memorializing the dead. It's called the Oban Festival. So when he got to Tucson and he saw what we do here with dancing and marching in the street with the faces of skulls and the bodies of skeletons, you know, ending with a great big bonfire in which we send the names of the dead flying skyward, he was entranced. So if you could stop by the Temple Gallery over the weekend, you get a preview of the big event on Sunday, which is this year's edition of the All Souls Procession.
And everybody gathers about 5 o'clock on Toole, the north side of Toole?
Yeah, that's right. If you want to be in it, and everybody is welcome. A lot of people like to go in it and carry photos of their departed loved ones. You don't have to wear it, you know, paint your face as a skull, but a lot of people like to do it. People have been making giant puppet heads of their loved ones, and they kind of, you know, march as that person as a final goodbye. So if you want to be in it, yes, show up at 5 o'clock right by the Hotel Congress on Toole. If you just want to watch, the marching will start around 6, and as you know, downtown is pretty well torn up. So it won't be going on its usual route, 4th Avenue, across Congress. This time, they're going to go across Toole, across Alameda, then back down to Congress and over the river. And the grand finale, where Flom Chen does their aerial acrobatics lighted up by fire, will be over at the new building over on West University, the San Agustin restaurant and gathering place.
And that would be fun. The finale is always great. There's a lot of great entertainment there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, the Flom Chen dancers dance up pretty high in the sky.
And they
the whole
do.
Thing is flamed, and then they raise the giant urn and set it on fire, and then they're supposed to have the names of everybody's departed loved ones in it, and so those go up in smoke and wend their way to the heavens and in a final departure. So pretty dramatic.
Quickly, Margaret, we've only got about 2 minutes. There's 2 theater openings that I want to give our listeners a heads up to.
Yeah, right. Beowulf Valley, which is getting good reviews in its reconstituted form. They have a new artistic director, and their first play of the season got a great review. This one is a sort of a contemporary classic, Glengarry Glen Ross by David Mamet. Pretty challenging play to undertake. It's about kind of corrupt real estate agents, and it has a lot of provocative language, and I understand there may even be a little nudity. No, I'm sorry, that's the next play I'm going to talk about. But, you know, Glengarry Glen Ross is really considered a modern classic.
The other
Valley.
Yeah, the other play is The Night Heron.
Yeah, The Night Heron. Now, that's the one that has partial nudity, I'm told, and adult themes. Now, that's a British play. Guy named Jez Butterworth, and it's about people in the remote fens of England. Fens is a word I had to look up.
What does that mean?
It's kind of the outback, the remote areas,
okay.
You know, like in Wuthering Heights out there on the moors, I guess.
The Rogue Theater is where? And this play is through the November 1st through the 18th.
Yeah, that's right. The Rogue Theater is at the old historic YWCA at 5th Avenue and University.
Okay, Margaret Regan, always a pleasure having you with us on the Buckmaster Show. Have fun this weekend.
Yeah, I can't. understand how I'm ever going to get all this done, but I'll give it a shot.
Thanks a lot, Margaret. Okay, have a great day.
Thank
you. The bi-monthly arts report on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe Gall is his name. He is a terrific guy, and his family run this operation. Moe makes house calls, so he'll come out, do all the measurements, your mirror or whatever you want to put on the wall, and he'll take care of it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, they're located in the Interior Design Center. That's Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. The Buckmaster Show is also presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community for adults 55 and better. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by our friends at Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. What is it about Culligan water? Well, Culligan water, it just simply tastes better. Coming up this afternoon from 4 to 5, it's the John C. Scott Show. John is the dean of local talk in Southern Arizona. Then it's going to be the Halloween edition of Wake Up Tucson. Guests tomorrow will include State Treasurer Doug Ducey. Supervisorial candidate Allie Miller will be a guest, and a preview of the Tucson Comic Con. That's a comic book convention coming up this weekend. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday afternoon. I hope you have a great afternoon, and we'll be back with you with our midweek edition tomorrow on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.